All right. Thank you, choir. And we're using a few of our choir members every Sunday here so we can safe distance. They're doing a great job. And also our praise band over in the Family Life Center. Thank you for coming today. And you make responsible decisions. I appreciate that. And then I want you to know that we want to welcome those who are watching on live stream. And then by Tuesday at noon, we have our video, our reproduction of this service after we've edited it some. And I want you to know that we're continuing to welcome an audience from 25 to 30 other countries. Who would have thought that here in Silver Creek, that's great to welcome them, that we'd have an international ministry with our services. So I want you to take your Bible today, and I want to share with you about a maturing faith in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. Last Sunday, I preached about focusing on your family. And today, this is a message about individually and as a family building a very strong faith. So look with me, if you will, at Genesis chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. How many of you have ever shopped at IKEA? Understand, if you go to IKEA, instructions are required for assembly of their furniture. I'm not very good with my hands. I have tools, but I call somebody and pay them to use my tools to assemble things. Back in 2019, IKEA made the decision to sell a chocolate rabbit. IKEA could not sell you a whole rabbit. You had to assemble the ears, and you also had to fit a stand on the bottom of the rabbit's feet. That's in keeping with their design of their furniture. I want you to know that nobody can give you faith. Faith must be assembled. You can come to Bible studies. You can come to worship services like this where somebody has prepared a spiritual meal for you. But you will never grow in your faith unless you're willing to take some action. So today what I want us to do, I want to share with you just a few. It's not an exhaustive list of principles that will lead to a growing faith for you as parents and your children. First of all, faith is catching the dream. Now, I want you to see here that when God shares with us, when Christ was teaching on this earth, he always used visual aids, or he wanted you to get the picture of something. So God told Abram, he said, your descendants will be as numerous as what? Look up on a dark night, the stars in the skies. And he said, now you go ahead and see if you can count those. And he said, how can that be since I don't have a child? And then he said, Eliezer must be the one who's going to take over my estate, for I have no children. You can imagine Abram as he went through his 80s, somebody would see him on the street and said, well, do you have a child yet? No, not yet. So he's what, 9,900 years old? His wife's about what? About 90 years old. And guess what? They're having a cupcake shower. Well, I want you to know that all this time he believed God. I love Ephesians 3:20. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, all we think. It's an encouragement to me to know that the Lord likes to stretch our imagination as we are involved in assembling these steps to a strong faith. I think about Tim Tebow. You know, Tim Tebow won the Heisman Trophy. He was able to lead the Florida Gators to 2 national championships. And then he was a first-round NFL draft choice. Then later on, he played for the Syracuse Mets and also the New York Mets. And then you look at his resume a little bit further. He's an ESPN sports commentator. He's also directed a movie, produced a movie called Run the Race. And he's a best-selling author. I encourage you to get his books. They're outstanding. But I want you to know he's accomplished a whole lot since he was born in 1987. Listen to what he said. He was interviewed one time. He said, much of what he's done can be understood by the balance that he has in life. He says, there's a strategic balance between dreaming and doing. Listen to what he said. It's good to be a dreamer, but not when the dreaming stops you from being a doer in the moment. We need both. Abram, you're going to have descendants. I want your imagination stretched here. Look at the stars of the sky. But then we look over here at Tim Tebow and he says, let God help you dream the dream, but then you've got to be a doer. So the second thing I want you to write down is put forth the effort. I've known some people through the years who've had some great ideas, but they never amount to anything. They never follow through. We're going to look in Mark chapter 5. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 5, and let's see what it means to do. That, what it means when God calls us, he wants to step out on faith, we've got to take the initiative. Mark chapter 5, verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. They crowded around him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and had been to see many physicians and had spent all the money she had. Can you imagine that? Going to the doctor. And nothing got better. Rather, she grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude around you? And you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. In verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of this plague. Women were not highly thought of back in that day. They were second-class citizens in that society. I want you to know another thing. In the Jewish community, she would have been ostracized. She's unclean. She has an issue of blood. The other thing I want you to know is she would not be allowed in the Jewish temple to worship while she had this problem as well. So she was ostracized from family, friends, and people in the spiritual community. Now, as you look at this woman, you see her failure because the Bible said she had gone to see many physicians and spent all that she had. You know, that's the way we do when we have a problem, if we get an illness. And it's a good thing to call your doctor because, listen, God has called doctors. Praise God, he's called doctors. And we've got some great ones in this town. But I want you to know that sometimes you might want to precede all these doctor's visits with prayer. I had to study for a colonoscopy the other day. And when I went in that day and they say, all right, you got to put on this backless gown and lie down. I mean, just all your modesty is gone. The only thing you hope is there's not a nurse that's attending to you that goes to your church, because I don't let that happen. So I want you to know, when the nurse of Thessalonica came, it was a guy. He came in and he said, "Now, do you have any false teeth?" And I said, "No, everything I have is mine, brother." And, you know, he's looking at my age and saying, "This is impossible." And then he says, "Now, here's what we're going to do. It's going to be propofol." I said, "Yeah, it's going to go in here and here, and you're going to put a cannula in." He said, "Yeah, that's what's going to happen." I said, "And it's the best nap that you'll ever get." He said, "Right." He said, "All right, you seem to know the drill." I said, "Yeah, I've been here many times before." I said, "Before you leave, Doc," I said, "I just wanted to tell you something." And he's walking out the door. I said, "I prayed for you during my quiet time this morning." He stopped dead in his tracks. He was speechless. And then when he walked out the door, he said, "Man, I want to thank you for that. If you're going to be touching my body, I've got you covered up with prayer. I'm going to tell you that." But I want you to know, she kept going to the doctors. You also see here her faith, because she had heard about Jesus in those crowds, and she was probably trying to figure out the probability of getting close enough to touch the hem of his garment. But she said, "I'm going to take the initiative, and I'm going to get there." She had evidently never had anybody to help her. We all go back to missed opportunities because we don't take initiative. Think about this. Years ago, it was in the early 80s, Delaney and I were on vacation at Edisto Beach, South Carolina. Most of you don't know where that is. It's south of Charleston, about 40 miles. It's mainly residential. You can rent property over there, and that's fine. But it's not commercialized. You know, you don't have the rock-a-planes and the tilt-a-whirl right outside your window. You know, it's just family-oriented. And so some of our friends who had been in our first church in Sally were home builders, and they had moved to Edisto Beach. We got together with them to eat one night, and he took us over to this golf course, the only golf course on the island. And we were in a little recession. And he looked at us, and he said, "I want to offer you an investment opportunity." He said, "I've got a lot right here on the golf course I need to get rid of." And he said, "I'm going to let you have it for a low price." Now, this guy's a man of integrity. He wasn't trying to pull the wool over our eyes. Well, here we are. We're serving in right downtown Warrenton, Georgia, population 2,400. And he said, "Now, the lot's $30,000. And, you know, if you want to finance it or something, we can work that out." Delaney and I thought about that and prayed about that thing overnight. And we've got to thinking, we'll never build here. But that was not the purpose. He said, "If you'll buy this, there's only so much land on this island. You may triple or quadruple your money over the years." And we thought about it overnight. And what did we say? "No, I'm just not taking that chance right now." And when you go back and look at that, you think, you know, maybe the Lord was leading us to something, and that was a missed opportunity. Which takes me to the next step that you need to write down. And if you're going to develop a faith personally, as mom and dad, and as children in the family, faith has got to be willing to take chances. Write it down. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Listen to me, an atheist can walk by sight. Sometimes we say, "Now, seeing is believing." Well, you know, in the day in which we live, even seeing isn't believing. I'm amazed at digital technology. I can't operate it, but when other people do, I'm just dumbfounded at what it can do. You ever see somebody, have you ever taken your face and just posted it and then gave yourself a new nose, new eyes, and new ears? And, you know, it goes beyond a glamour shot. And you change your hair color. Don't raise your hand for some of you who've done that. You know, these dating sites, that would scare me to death. You know, old boys on a dating site, ChristianTingle.com. And he's on there looking for a date, And he sees this girl that's a 10, and when he meets her, she's Godzilla. See, she had cropped her face. And so that's taking a chance. That's taking a real big chance. You can't even believe what you see anymore. But listen, if we can crop faces and create illusions online, what do you think Satan can do with us, with temptation and with evil? So we have to walk by faith. And sometimes, you know, God doesn't let us look under every rock. He says you have to step on out of faith. You've got to take some risk to have a strong faith. And then faith is anticipating the best. Matthew 9:29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. You don't have to have money. Don't have to have education. You don't have to have special abilities to have a strong faith. Now, society sometimes will let you know that more than likely, whatever you do, the worst is going to happen. If you try something, you're going to fail. Some of our experiences, our flesh just says to expect things to work out as usual, but faith says expect the supernatural. I learned a long time ago, listen to me carefully, I learned a long, long time ago, when you come to church, if you expect nothing, nothing is going to happen. Do you know why we go to so many services and they're just ordinary? Because we haven't shared Christ during the week. You know, this the most exciting time of a service ought to be when we give an invitation. On the days before COVID, people could come down an aisle and make a public profession of faith. Now you got to go to a desk and make an appointment, do that in a in an office somewhere with a staff member. And that will change in time. But if you come to a service expecting people to get saved, if you come to service expecting the music to really lead you to worship the King of Kings, you're going to get what you expect. Young preachers, we used to watch Billy Graham in his crusades. I mean, he could be overseas using an interpreter. He's preaching on John 3:16. They give the invitation and thousands of people come down out of the stadium, make their public profession of faith. You know, he could be in Los Angeles. He could be in Detroit. He could be in New York. He could be in the most pagan, riddled place in the United States. And when he gave an invitation, people would come. Do you know why? Because for a year, 2 years, he had teams that organized local people. And they went out sowing the seed and sharing Christ for a year and 2 years in advance. Then he had teams that did nothing, but for about a year bathed those services in prayer. So when Billy Graham got up to preach, when he gave the invitation, he always expected the best, and the best always happens. So faith is expecting the best. Faith is stretching. Faith is taking the initiative. It's risking failure. Faith is expecting the best according to your faith. But then faith is patience. Don't get ahead of God and don't give up on God. The reason I bring this up is because Abraham had to wait. God gave him that promise years and years before he ever fulfilled it. Abraham waited year after year, no son, no heir, yet he continued to believe God. And listen, he continued to believe the best. When it says he believed God and counted it for righteousness, it doesn't mean he believed God one time. It meant that every day, he lived days in one-day compartments, he believed God every single day. Now, part of faith is waiting for the answer, waiting on God's timing. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, write this down. Waiting is evidence of faith. Waiting is evidence of faith, but waiting is evidence of mature faith. If you've gone on a long trip with children, what do they say? When are we going to get there? I remember when we moved from Augusta to Baxley, Georgia. My dad got promoted with the phone company. And I'll never forget when the moving van moved down, he put us in the 57 Plymouth with the fins on the back. There was three kids, no air conditioning, no carpet on the floors, rubber floors, hot summertime. Now, don't report this to PETA now. But we had a dog. So we got in the car. Daddy threw the dog in the back seat, said, keep him from getting in my way driving. And we had a cat named Tinkerbell. The cat didn't like cars, so Daddy had a fish basket. Threw the cat in the fish basket and threw it in the floor in front of me and said, keep that cat calm till we drive 175 miles down to Baxley, Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, that was not a good trip. In fact, after we got down there, it wasn't long before the cat ran away. Never saw him again. I don't blame him. Now, when you're driving down the highway with your children, you don't throw a cat back there in a fish basket. You don't throw a dog back there. I see you driving by in your big old SUVs, ladies. You got this. They're watching movies on a big video screen. And they're back there with their electronic devices. They don't care if you ever arrive. So they're pacified. But children are like that. People that are immature in their faith are saying, God, when are we going to get there? But I want you to know a sign of maturity with your faith is when you're willing to wait. I look at old Moses. God said to Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver the people out of Egypt. He was 80 years old before God sent him back to Pharaoh. He was 40 years of age when God called him. God waited 40 more years before he actually sent him to Egypt. And then he spent 40 years in the desert. All that time, he was waiting. Some of you who are in management especially face this. You know, sometimes you got an employee that's just on the borderline and not doing things like they ought to do. You don't know whether to bring them in and write them up and reprimand them. Sometimes you just need to pray for patience, because you don't fire people, people fire themselves. Do you know what I'm talking about? And sometimes, rather than upset the whole corporation there, if you just pray and be patient, it's like Joshua going around the walls of Jericho. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Just be patient. And then I want you to know, faith is obeying God. We're going to go back in the life of Abraham, back before God gave him the promise of son, before God gave him that promise, God gave him another command, before God gave him the big things, God tested Abraham in the little things. And you know, that's the way God does it. Are you willing to obey God in the little things? I don't understand people who won't give a dime out of every dollar as a tithe as God commands, who expect God to bless them when they ask for other things. Some folks want to be used of God, but they don't want to obey God in the ordinary things. Faith is following God's instructions, no matter what the cost, even when it seems to be illogical. More of the work of God has been stymied in churches across the land by this statement. Listen to me. Listen to this. Now, Pastor, I know the Bible says we ought to have faith, but God gave us a brain so we can exercise common sense. Now, that sounds real good. But the next line is, now, preacher, let's just don't do anything. Let's don't do this big thing that God called us to do. Let's do what logic tells us to do. If this were the Lord, what God's calling us to do would make sense. Building this worship center down here in the middle of nowhere didn't make a whole lot of sense, did it? Until some of you that were here saw we were just running over in two services and there are people coming from four counties. It's time to do something. Think about Abram. In the very beginning, Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Listen to me carefully. When he first set out, God said, I'm calling you away from this land, but I'm not telling you where you're going. Guys, that's like going out to eat with your wife, isn't it? You get about halfway to town and you say, well, darling, where would you like to eat? Well, honey, let's go where you want to go. Guys, that's a trap. And you say, honey, I'm not craving anything in particular. I just, whatever you want. And I'm not doing anything that's raw. But whatever you want. The other day, Delaney and I had we have fun figuring out where we're going to eat. And we were going out to eat. And I said, well, let's just go over here to this restaurant. And she said, oh, that's good. And so we're just going down the road. She said, I sure am craving some country cooking, though. Why didn't you tell me that back there where I could turn to the country cooking restaurant? And so finally I said, that's where we're going. It's going to be pork chops, black-eyed peas, turnip greens, chicken breasts fried in lard, and nana pudding. Warm. I'm sorry, we're out right now, but it's in the oven. I'll wait. In fact, I'll wait till you close, and I'll take it to go when you get it ready. And so we go out to eat. We don't know where we're going. Abraham was told, leave this massive place that you have and all these riches. But I'm not telling you where you're going. That goes against all of our logic, doesn't it? There's nothing wrong with planning our life. You know, a young person is trying to decide on a career. And suppose they're going into nursing and they want to go to a college that has a good nursing school. They want to talk to counselors. They want to talk to some students that graduated from that nursing school. And that's all great. But the one thing we need to do before we make all our choices is to get on our knees before God and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my life? And I'm going to tell you, for a while, you may not know where you're going till he reveals it. And then I want you to see here, faith keeps on keeping on. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that also he shall reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is talking about several things. Obviously, it's talking about the principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. Sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. This is also a principle of intensification. Look at this. Not only do you sow what you reap, but you reap more than you sow because you always sow expecting a harvest. One of the young couples in our church has two little children. I did their wedding about 14 and a half years ago. They got in touch with me the other day and said, for the first time, we planted a garden. I thought, bless your soul, you'll do that about 2 years. Die of heat stroke, said, I won't do that anymore. But she called me the other day and she said, you won't believe it. I've got 100 stalks of corn. I text back to her, I said, you're truck farming now. But you think about that. Probably planted one or two seeds per hill. And then the corn. And it tossles. Aren't you impressed that I know that? And, you know, she might have 4 or 5 ears of corn that came from what? One or two seeds. And then she's got all this corn to eat. She wants to. She can keep some of that corn, let it dry for seeds next year. She got probably 100 times per stalk more than she planted per hill. Paul said to the Corinthians that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow abundantly, you'll reap abundantly. In other words, you cannot outgive God because there's a built-in principle of sowing and reaping. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. You know, sometimes we get weary in well-doing. And the problem is we keep looking at our well-doing and we forget about keeping our eyes on Christ and what He's called us to do. The other thing I want you to know is we're not to give just so we get. Malachi 3, 9, and 10 says if we will tithe, that He will bless us so much that our barns won't be able to hold it. That money could be. Could it be health? Could be. Could it mean protecting your children? Could be. Protecting your home? Could be. Protecting your job? Could be. I don't know what it's going to be. But I want you to know one thing. I don't want to miss any of God's blessings. But you don't give just to get. That's an improper motive. Is Pleasant Valley South going to be successful long term? Well, if we pray and we're willing to give in ministry, the answer is yes. Is your Christian life going to be successful? Without a doubt, you will if you'll operate by faith and the sowing and reaping principle. It's a principle that God is not going to change. The devil, listen, the devil cannot defeat a Christian who will not give up. I've seen him defeat a lot of people, but I've seen some very, very, very strong Christians that he couldn't defeat. I want you to know that faith is more than walking down an aisle and say, I've given my heart to Christ, and then being a candidate for believers' baptism. Let me tell you what happens with a lot of people who get saved, and they say, oh, I'm going to walk with Christ. I'm going to be faithful. Watch them. They accept Christ. They walk down an aisle. They give their heart to Jesus and their hand to the preacher. The preacher baptizes them. And in a few months, they're gone. It's like plop, plop, fizz, fizz in the baptistry. And they fizzle out. Listen to me carefully. Growing faith is a faith that persists, that doesn't give up. That's the kind of faith we can develop. And God assists us with that as we walk with the Spirit who lives within us. The last thing I want to share with you quickly this morning is this. Our faith will always face failure in life. Sometimes our faith is going to fail. Sometimes we're going to stumble. Sometimes we're ready to give up. There's something down deep inside that tells us we're not going to fail. The sun comes up tomorrow. We've got another day. We can get up going again. We can recover from failure. I've read all of Truett Cathy's books. I recommend you do that. I'm not particular. I'm not crazy about reading, but his is an easy read. When you pick it up, you cannot put it down. Some of the books only take an hour and a half. But in one of his books, he said when he and his brother got together and built the first restaurant, they were so excited. They'd figured out how to do that Chick-fil-A sandwich with that closely guarded confidential recipe. Things were going great. They felt the Lord led them to open that first door. And guess what happened? It caught on fire and burned to the ground. I mean, there was nothing left. So he and his brother got together and started praying about what they were going to do. And his brother up and dies of a heart attack. So then Truett says, since my brother and I were in business together, I feel responsible for his wife and his children. I'm going to make sure they're taken care of. So by faith, Truett rebuilt that grill. Now their sales are into what? The billions and billions. And I want you to know this. When you see a new Chick-fil-A going up, for example, Truett's Grill, when they tore down the Dwarf House, built the Truett's Grill, they didn't call the bank and see what their credit score was. Chick-fil-A is their own bank. They do everything for cash out of their own accounts. Now, what would have happened if Truett Cathy had a weak faith? He said, Lord, you allowed us to fail here. I think I need to go do something else. Well, Chick-fil-A would not be a household word in the South. Delaney and I were in a meeting down in Jonesboro one time, and Dan Cathy was speaking. He said, I want y'all to know, and this is several years ago, he said, I want y'all to know something. He said, we have bought property in downtown New York, and we're about to open up a Chick-fil-A in New York City. He said, we're going to give them some sweet tea and trying to sweeten some of those sour Yankees up there. I thought, whew, I don't believe I'd have said that, but you know, you the man. Listen to me carefully. All of us have failures. And I think the only way we can ever overcome the scars in life, whatever they are, if it's from the way we were raised, from experiences we had as young people, is through God. Through God, we can escape and be free from that. And through God, we don't have to consider the things of old and let those things bind us in the future. Because God tells us he's going to do something new that's never been done before. How strong is your faith? I got news for you. Assembly required. This list is not exhaustive, but from the life of Abraham, we can have a faith following these principles that will carry us through this life so that at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll hear the master's well done. Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed and eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Very simple message. And oftentimes we think, well, yeah, I have a lot of faith. God give me more. Sorry to ask for that. But he's expecting us to take the initiative and do our part to show our trust, our 100% totally surrendered trust in him. Lord, forgive us when we just try to walk by sight and let our fears dictate our decisions. Help us to walk on your promises, just stand on those promises, walk with those promises as the Holy Spirit leads us. If you're listening today or you're here, you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, all you have to do is believe Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died on the cross, allowed his blood to be poured out to purchase your free gift of salvation, and he rose again. And whoever calls on him and invites him into your heart will be saved. It'll change your life here and the destination of where you're going to spend eternity, and that eternity is with him. Maybe you've already made that decision. You need to make it public. You need to be a candidate for baptism. I'm going to ask you, if you're here, just like those who need Christ, if you'll go to the Connect desk and the Family Life Center, or to the desk, the Welcome desk and the Welcome Center, and a staff member will meet with you here today. Some of you are guests. You've been guests for a while, and God's called you. Now, only if God's called you to invest your spiritual gifts in the ministry of Pleasant Valley South, I invite you to come make that same decision. A staff member will meet with you after the service. For those of you who are online today, if you'll just call us at 706-234-1841 and leave a message, a staff member will be glad to get back in touch with you. Lord, we thank you and praise you during this, the most important time of this service, when you're doing business in the hearts and the minds of people that are listening here and online. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mark's going to come and lead us. Consider your seat as your altar as God deals with your heart.